We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6. And I want to read Romans 6, 1 through 7 for us this morning for context. And hopefully look at verses 5 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Obviously, we know from reality that all of us do have a sin problem. So this is not talking about the eradication of sin from one's life. This is talking about how to have victory over sin in your life, and in particular, the sin of lawlessness. Because the word sin in this passage of Scripture has a definite article the in front of it. And so it's talking about a particular sin. Not sin in general, but a particular sin. And we have looked at this already. We have studied it in depth. It's the sin of lawlessness. The sin of lawlessness is the willful sin. It's the sin we will not confess. I was thinking about it this week. There are lifestyles that people promote that they are right. And in particular, since we are all family, in-house family, the lifestyle of a homosexual. There are homosexuals that are saved that will not confess that sin. And that's lawlessness. So when you see justification of that lifestyle, justification of living together without being married is another sin of lawlessness. And God hates that. And you will be denied if you're saved. In other words, I do believe that people who live lawless lives can be saved. I'm sure that there was a time that I justified things that I was doing and wouldn't confess them because I liked them too much. But God had mercy on me, and I was able to change it. I was able to repent of it. And the Lord cleaned me up. I like the idea of the Lord is calling us to be fishers of men. And you know what? We don't have to clean the fish. We can leave the fish clean into the Lord. And to a certain degree, there's a discipleship, which we will look at a little bit this morning. Now, what Paul is saying in these verses that we read, and in fact, Romans chapter 6, I believe, is found in Romans chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. And I'm going to read those verses. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And it's the sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. The word reckon in this verse is in the present tense. It's an ongoing thing. It's not an event. Salvation is an event. Reckoning ourselves to be dead is an ongoing thing. Because it isn't long after we die to self, the old ugly head of lust pops up. You know what? We've got to reckon ourselves as dead again. And the word reckoning means really, it's to count, conclude, to reason that I don't have to live a sinful life. I don't have to live in lawlessness. I can have victory over sin. And we're to reckon ourselves to be dead. And this word dead here is nekros. It's different than the word thanatos that we've been looking at. This word nekros is the same word as used as those being dead in trespasses and sins. It's the same word used in James 2 and verse 26, I believe it is, the last verse of James 2, that the body without breath is dead. And so we have to reckon ourselves to be dead. That is no life. And if we reckon ourselves to have no life, we are not aware of the lust that draws us into the sin of lawlessness. Because it is lust, a desire for the flesh that causes us to justify things that God condemns. So we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin of lawlessness. There's a definite article V before it. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This word alive is present active. We're living, present tense, unto God. We're focused on God's will. We're focused on God's commandments. We're focused on His plans and His purposes for our life. And we're alive to that. We are sensitive to that. What He wants for us does make a difference to us. I think about people who don't want to go to church anymore. I've heard people say, "I can worship God in the woods," and maybe there's some today that are justifying that. Now, I don't have any problem with going hunting once a year, or you know, occasionally on Sunday, but I don't make it a habit. It's not something I practice. But the point is this. We're interested and we're alive unto what God wants for us. That's what it means to be living unto God. And we can't do it alone. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, help us to do that. Why do we need the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to do that as our High Priest? He is the dispenser of grace. And what is grace? It's the power of Christ. He gives me the ability. And not only the power of Christ, but it's the ability to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Did you know that you cannot serve God with reverence and godly fear apart from grace? And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 it says, "May we have grace." And that's in the present tense. May we have grace, and it's subjunctive, we may not, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know why we need the grace of God? Because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Entrance into the coming kingdom is established, what it takes to do that. And it takes pleasing God to enter the kingdom. That's in that verse 2, by the way. Okay. So we are to not let the sin reign in our mortal bodies. The word reign is a verb. It's present active. What does it mean to reign? It means it's in charge. It's calling the shots. It's the king. That's what reigning means. And we're not to let the sin call the shots in our life. But we, in our mortal bodies, that we should obey the sin. And we can do it. Even though we're saved, we can do it. I cannot get away from Solomon. Solomon let his life style get out of hand. Too much money, too much power, too many wives. Lust. And what did his wives do? They drew his heart away from the things of God. And he was building places of worship of idols. Solomon was a saved child of God. He had a testimony that God loved him. And after Solomon prayed, he filled the temple with himself. And so Solomon was a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his father David, and things just got out of hand. And so therefore we don't have to let that happen. Now, in Romans 1:16, Paul, and this is by way of a bit of review, but quickly we'll go over this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin, that is lawlessness, that grace should abound? And that's the answer, is simply no. God forbid. That's what it says in the next verse. God forbid. Ephesians 2:3 tells us, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. It's the lust that causes lawlessness. And it's the lust of the flesh that causes lawlessness. And we are fulfilling in the past, this is talking about those who have had victory over sin, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, the children of anger. This is not talking about the judgment of God. This is talking about those who were letting lawlessness reign in their life. And so, what does it mean to continue in the sin? It's to continue to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's in the present tense. Continually doing that. And so Paul says in Romans 6:2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead, or who have died, because it's aorist, active, to the sin, live any longer therein? Now, the point is this, we have to reckon ourselves dead. We are not dead. And the reckoning is an ongoing thing. And why is this in the aorist tense? Oftentimes the aorist tense has to be repeated again and again and again. Now salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the aorist tense, is not an event after an event after an event. Believe once and you're born into the family of God. This aorist tense here are dead. These are events in your life when you have to reckon yourself dead. And you do that over and over and over again. So we that have died to the sin live any longer therein. In other words, if you've got an attitude against the sin, why are you continuing to do that? Now, Romans 6:11, again, is just simply reminding us again that we are to reckon present middle, that we ourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin. So it's an ongoing thing. And notice, I didn't put it in the other part of the notes, but it's in the middle voice. To me, the middle voice is very revealing. It's something I do for myself. This is something that God isn't doing for me. It's something I am doing for myself. I am choosing to reckon myself dead. And so therefore, it's an ongoing event. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now, the word baptized is aorist. It means to dip, immerse. And a dipping is not one way. You dip it, and you pull it back out. So a baptism is an immersion and a resurrection. You immerse, and it comes back out. That's resurrection. So when we look at baptism, we see dying to self, and then a resurrection to newness of life, a new way of living. And we're being baptized, in this case, not into water, but into Jesus. Now, I do believe that we need water baptism, but here it says we are, as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. So there's two things here. We're baptized into Jesus Christ and His death. And it's very interesting. The phrase, into His death. And the literal translation of that is, into the death of Himself. This is the death that Jesus Christ Himself did. Now this phrase is not used very much. Maybe less than 10 times, but it's the primary usages of it or occurrences of it are in Romans 6 and also in Colossians as well. Colossians 2:12, and we'll look at that in just a moment. What I see in this is this. This is a death that Jesus Christ Himself did. And I believe that when He did that, He did it or demonstrated it in the garden, even though He was living it all along. In other words, Jesus didn't die to self in the garden. When He came, He died to self. In fact, when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're putting on Christ. Galatians 3:23, for as many as of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. In other words, to put on Christ means that we look like Him, we behave like Him, we think like Him, we have the same priorities as He does. That's putting on Christ. I used this illustration last week. When you put on a skeleton suit and walk around with a bucket in your hand, you're supposed to act like a skeleton, right? But anyway, the point is this. Putting on Christ, I am to look like Him and act like Him and have His priorities. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's part of putting on Christ. Let this mind, let this thinking. And what was His thinking? And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now if we want to, we can apply that to being obedient unto our own physical death as well. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In Mark 14:36, and He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. To me, that is the death of Himself. He would have had the cup taken from Him, but He did not resist. He accepted the will of the Father for Himself. And I believe that's what it means to be baptized into the death of Himself. In other words, we need to die to self. And that's what it means. That's what He did. And in John 6:38, it says, for I came down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. That's the same attitude that we need to have. We need to be doing the will of Him that sent us. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the age-lasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. It's the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus, and it's through the blood that He is able to make us complete in every good work. Without the shedding of blood, there's no deliverance. The word remission means deliverance. The word remission means liberty. And if you're in the bondage of sin, the sin, if it's reigning over you, then you are not free for God to work in your life and to make you complete in every good work to do His will. Because if without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in bondage. And it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have liberty and deliverance. Now, how are we to be doing the will of God? From the heart. Ephesians 6:6, not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From the heart. Where are the decisions made today in our lives? It's in the heart. It's out of the heart that comes the way that we live. And so therefore we need to be in other words, the things that I do, I'm not to be doing because I want you to see that I'm a good little boy. You know, like Jack Corner, you know, putting his thumb in the pie. Well, and I don't want to be pleasing you. I want to be pleasing my Father and you too as well. Now, Romans 6:4 says, therefore, let me just read that. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, or the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, the baptism here is like as. I think that's the emphasis. We are buried by baptism, that is having died to self, with Him, because Jesus Christ also died to self. And by the way, Jesus Christ was baptized. And I think that water baptism can be applied in this verse of Scripture here. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's interesting to see what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to put that in the notes. It's just not enough room to put everything in here, but I can share it with you. Before Jesus Christ was baptized, He was in submission to His mother and dad. He lived at home. He submitted Himself. You find that in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 3, we find Jesus being baptized. And in fact, it says in Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, but John forbade Him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, the Lord was going to fulfill all righteousness. Here's the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead, fulfilling all righteousness. Then He suffered Him. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I believe one of the things that is a prerequisite of water baptism is that you're walking in a pleasing life to the Lord. That is, that sin does not have dominion over you. And obviously sin did not have dominion over the Lord. And He had the testimony that He was pleasing Him. And we need that way. We need that in our life as well. But secondly, after He was baptized, Jesus was tested by the devil. One of the things that you start doing the will of God in your life and pleasing Him, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he does not seek to devour lost people. They're already dead. He is seeking to cause live people, live children of God, to perish. And that's what the devil tried to do, was to get Jesus to sin. And Jesus had victory. He was not lawless. And you know what He began to do in the next chapter 4 of Luke? He began to preach, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When he was raised from the waters of baptism, he began a new ministry. He had an old ministry at home with his mom and dad. He was baptized in the Jordan. And he began a new ministry of preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that's what it means for us. When we die to self and we're raised to newness of life, it means that our priorities are changed. Our activities change. The places that we go change. And our testimony has to do with the things of God. And so, in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we're buried with Him by baptism in the death of Himself. And by the way, this word death, I believe, is a reference to the death of Himself, not what we've commonly associated Thanatos' death with. But this is the death of Himself in verse 3, that like as Christ was raised up from dead, or the dead, and by the way, this is nekros. So what we're doing is that we're going from some figurative language to literal language, that He was raised from those who had no breath. That, in other words, He was in the tomb and He was raised up. And by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus Christ had a new beginning. When did He have a new beginning? When God raised Him from the dead. And what was His new beginning? Well, He went from a prophet to a priest. He is our high priest today. And you know what? Jesus Christ is going to have another new beginning. You know what it is? He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we'll be the priest. We'll be a kingdom of priests. We'll take over that job. So we need to find out what it's all about by doing what? By going to our high priest and finding out how he handles us. But anyway, that's a little extra. But so we should walk in newness of life. In Colossians 2:20, we find baptism as symbolic language. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the effectual working of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. In other words, baptism, wherein ye are raised with Him through faith. In other words, we are identifying ourselves with not necessarily His physical resurrection, but the newness of life that we can have after we have died to self and we have received a living hope, a new life by a living hope. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world," or the age. Notice that we are to go. It's aorist passive. And we're to teach. The word teach means to disciple. Baptism is not associated with salvation. Baptism is associated with dying to self. Baptism cannot be associated with salvation, other than the fact that only saved people are baptized, okay? Because if you associate baptism with salvation, then what was Jesus doing getting baptized? He was fulfilling all righteousness. And so baptism is dying to self. And we are to be discipling people to do what? "Not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Not my will." We need to teach them how important it is to let God have His way in their life, and to demonstrate how we are letting God have His way in our life. To show you what is what the qualifications are of a disciple, I put in here Luke 14, verses 26 through 27. If any man come to me, present middle, this is not salvation, this has to do with following, and hate, and by the way, this is a relative term, this does not mean that I hate my father and my mother and my wife, I don't hate my wife. You know what that means? I prefer the Lord over my wife. Almost messed up there. My preference is the Lord, and that's the way it ought to be in your life. We are to prefer the Lord and not our father or our mother or our wife or our children or our brothers or sisters. Yea, in my own life, I prefer God's will over my own life. Or soul also. He cannot, if I can't do that, I cannot be his disciple. Discipleship is way down the line past salvation. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You have to die to self. That's what a cross is for. A disciple is one who dies over and over and over again. And not only that, a disciple has got to be able to do this. And I'm waving my hand. And the reason I'm doing that is because of what I'm going to read in the next verse, okay? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The word forsaketh could be translated bid farewell. You need to be able to say goodbye. I don't need that. Lord, if it's not going to help me, you can have it. That's bidding farewell. And so therefore, if we can't do that, we can't be a disciple. Okay? Now, salvation first. I want to emphasize that fact, and I need to wind this down. But salvation first. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe, aorist active imperative, it's a command, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's a verb. It's not a noun. We're saved by the verb believe, and we live by the noun faith. The reason why I don't believe you can be saved by faith is that you never know when you're saved by faith, because there is no tense, voice, or mood. And some will say, "Oh, if I have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, I can be saved." Well, it also says, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can cause a tree or a mountain to jump a long way. So if you're saved by faith, you need to test and see whether or not you have enough faith to be saved, if it takes that of a grain of a mustard seed. And you do that by, I wouldn't suggest moving mountains. Just move a tree. To prove, huh? Start small. Well, it's less complications. I often thought about that when I lived in Chattanooga. There's a place in Chattanooga called Lookout Mountain. Now, if I move Lookout Mountain, boy, just how long would it take the Lord to move all those people off of there before he can move it? And that's crazy. That's craziness to think stuff like that. But anyway, I did think about it. Anyway. Now, but here's something interesting. The Philippian jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved, but he was also baptized. Now, did Paul disciple him? He had to. Let's look at it. Verse 32 and 33. And they spake unto him the word of God. Is that discipling? Well, when you know what the word of God is, you know good and well it's discipling. Because the word of God has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the word of God is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it says the word of the Lord, but the Nestle's text, by the way, has it as God. It's really interesting. The 24th edition has the word God in it, And the 27th edition has the word Lord in it. So they can't make up their mind which one it ought to be. So I guess the latest edition, they decided there's too much trouble with having it as the word of God and not the word of the Lord. So they switched it back. Anyway, and to all that were in his house, this means that Paul was no longer in prison. He had invited Paul and Silas to his house to minister to them. Do you know anybody that ministered to brethren? And what was their commendation? If you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to whom? To me, the Lord. Was the Philippian jailer ministering to the Lord? He sure was. Because in verse 33 it says, and he took, and the word took here, means to be associated with oneself in any familiar or intimate act or relationship. This is from Strong's Concordance. And figuratively, to learn. In other words, the Philippian jailer took him in and became close to Paul, and he learned from Paul. And there was an intimate relationship between the jailer and Paul and Silas. That's what discipleship is all about. He took them in. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. He ministered to them and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, those that were baptized in his house had to respond the same way that the jailer did. You don't baptize lost people, and you don't baptize people that aren't disciples. They're not dead to self. Now, we are to die to ourselves. Well, I'm going to skip verse 5 of Romans 6, because I want to read some verses in Philippians 3. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto the death of himself. Boy, I tell you, that is powerful. That's powerful. What was the death of himself? When he cried, Abba, Father. When he came to do the will of the Father. What did Paul want to do? He wanted to conform to that example, role model. Why? Because he wanted to attain something. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection of those who perished. The word plural, the word dead is plural, the ones who have perished. It's really what he's talking about. He wanted to be caught up, and he wanted to be higher. He wanted a better resurrection than those who had no desire to conform to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, what he wanted to attain, the out resurrection, is found in 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling is the above calling. And we press toward that mark by how? By conforming ourselves unto his death. Not my will, but thine be done. And if we do that, we're going to hear the Lord says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, we're not the only begotten Son, but one day we will be sons and daughters and rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to each of us. Truly, we want to stand in Your presence approved. We want to hear well done. We pray, Lord, that You'd help us to die to our lust. And Lord, help us to repent of justifying lifestyles that are contrary to your word. We know, Lord, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and yet we can justify not being part of a church body. We pray, Father, that you would just help us to be conformed to the image of your Son and to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.